It is so good to be with you, and I'm hoping this will work to see the slides. Let's see if that's going to come up there. Yes, great. So, I'm going to be talking about blessings today, and I was encouraged to say something about the book, my very first book that I have published this year, and one of my heroes is George Verwer. Now, George Verwer he's gone to be with the Lord, but he led a sister organization to Youth with a Mission. Anybody know what the organization he led was called? Operation Mobilization, or OM, yeah. A fantastic organization. And the founders, George's founder of OM and the founder of Youth with a Mission, Lauren Cunningham, were great friends. They're both with the Lord. I'm sure they're celebrating and praying now. But George was great at, and so was Lauren, at promoting books. So I'm going to just briefly say why I think this book is important. It's been in the making for 30 years. I prayed, Susie and I prayed for our children most nights to bless them. And these blessings are all from the character of God. There are illustrations. Here's a blessing of excellence. Here's a blessing, one of compassion. And our little kids would say, "Daddy, you forgot to bless us. Come and bless us." And I didn't want to publish a book too early because you never quite know how your children are going to turn out in the end. But all four of them love the Lord. They have all served in missions. Two are in business now. Well, three, because one of them is married. Three are still full-time in missions. The middle two are married. And we're going to be grandparents. And I think this is a great book to pray, not just for children or your grandchildren, but for also adults. A young woman said to me just a couple of weeks ago, "This isn't for children. This is for me." And there are powerful words that are inspired by Scripture in here. So consider it, all right? I feel that in this time, it's such an exciting time to live because we're seeing a whole new wave of young people hear from God, want to come to church, giving their lives to the Lord. In fact, we have been sending out teams. Usually overseas, we send a lot of teams. But one of our outreach teams we sent to the UK, and just a small team from different nations, they led 98 people to the Lord in a two-month period on the streets. That used to happen in other nations when we'd send them to Africa or somewhere in Asia. But it's happening in the UK right now. And it's not just in that, but even in our little town of Harpenden 10 days ago, one of the young Brazilian missionaries, he led eight young people just sitting around. They were mocking at first about Jesus and that sort of thing. He just kept pressing in. And they made commitments to Jesus. And then he'd get them to download the Bible app and, you know, say, you know, you need to start praying together and use this. And this is amazing. God is on the move. The Holy Spirit is moving in a time like this that we haven't seen for a long time. I want you to be inspired. I want you young people not to be afraid or ashamed of being a Christian or of following Jesus. I want you to be willing to stand up. You might be mocked. You might be made fun of. But there are many people who might even mock you at first or hear or watch and actually come and say, "Hey, I want to hear more." Invite them to church. Susie came to know Jesus when she was 10 years old. Allison just told you how a friend at school invited her to come to the church. Invite your friends to come because Jesus changes our lives. It's not just for you young people, though. All generations. And I'm going to speak just a little bit about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And so if we look at Genesis 12, 1-3, here are these famous words. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. And it's the most stupendous promise really made to an individual human being, to Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham. Read it with me, okay? Just read it out. "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" Amen. So this is an amazing promise, and I'm going to mention what is a top line and a bottom line blessing. I think it was Don Richardson who first, when he came and spoke in Harpenden, that shared this with me. He's also with the Lord now, a wonderful missionary. But the top line blessings are God's blessings for us, for our family. And it says here, I will make you into a great nation for Abram. Wow, amazing. I will make your name great. In the chapter before, people were saying, we will make a name for ourselves. And that's not the way to do it. It's not to be ambitious that I'm going to be great, I'm going to be famous. But God wants to bless us, to bless our families, to bless each of us. It's His desire to do that. And those are top-line blessings. And with top-line blessings, we also have some top-line responsibilities. To care for our family, to provide for them, to care for our friends, to look after them. The things that are close to us, and God will bless as we do that. The bottom line is kind of like in any contract. This is a covenant, not a contract. But you got to read the fine print. And this is line number 7 at the bottom. Read it again, right here. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So there's another one, the 4th line there, and you will be a blessing. So it could almost be a little bit of command. You will be a blessing. But this bottom line is very, very unusual. Because in the very beginning of Genesis, we don't start with a tribal God just for the Israelites. We start with a God. In the beginning, God created what? This little tribe? No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, everything that is it. This is who our God is. And His heart is to bless all of creation. For God so loved the world, the cosmos, everything that He's created. And so He desires to bless all peoples, all nations. And He's beginning now again with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob to do this. There were some conditions. He had to sacrifice. Abram had to leave Ur in the Chaldees, probably quite a civilized place in history and time, and to go not to where he knew he was going, but to the land that God would show him. So he had to leave his country. He had to leave his people. He had to leave his father's household. I know some of you in the congregation have had to do that recently. And you wonder why, and you can feel angry about having been displaced, and why should this have to happen? You can be, but God has purposes for your life in this time, and you're already discovering them, and God will bless you as you go. Whether you've been forced to scatter or you've heard the Lord's call, I think we're to come here to England. Whatever it is, God will bless you, and He's going to make you a blessing in this place. And I've already heard from people in the church how grateful they are that you're here. So this 7-fold blessing is amazing. I've told you about the top line and the bottom line. But I want you just to pause for a moment, because somehow Abram had an encounter with God. He sensed the presence of God. He sensed something of God speaking to him. Of course, we know he also at times had visitors come to him. If you know the book of Genesis, who turned out to be the angel of the Lord and 2 other angels. But for us, just a moment, is there a time where you sense God's presence? Remember it. Call it to mind. I can remember being a young man, I think a teenager, and just, I looked up at the sky, and I could see the Milky Way, and just so many stars, and I was just overwhelmed by God's greatness and His love. I can remember that. What about you? All of us have questions, like, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What legacy will I leave for future generations? We heard from Janet, a wonderful, wonderful legacy. And I think, oh, so wonderful the way it's holistic, this mission of, yeah, giving people dignity who've had no dignity, of the beauty of design, of creative work. God's designed us for work, of giving hope and a future to people who had no hope. a wonderful story of mission. And God notices every little act, every little kindness which is done unto the Lord Jesus. And it's of eternal value. It's remembered by him. It's noticed by him, even if nobody else notices it. But what is the Lord asking me? What is the Lord asking you to say yes to? You may have no idea what will happen in the future as a result of those little yeses that you speak, whose life it will impact, what the far-flung places or the places near at hand will be changed and the light of God come into people's lives because you said yes. And I think earlier on in the service we said, you know, kind of lay down our idols or repent of those. Idols, what do you mean by that? But we could have an idol of comfort. I'd just rather not. It's easier to stay in my house than to go out and be a little uncomfortable. Yeah? That could be an idol for me. I'd rather be comfortable. Or I'd rather just do something that, yeah, I like. I don't want to do something, if Jesus asks me to, that, you know, I don't like that much. Okay? They can be little things in our hearts that, yeah, God wants our biggest desire to be for him. So, for you, and I'm going to ask this question several times, is there something Jesus, the Lord, is asking you, would you do this for me? It may be a very small thing. Sometimes it's, would you bake a cake and take it to this neighbor? And you tell me, well, how is that significant? What does that matter? Or take some food over, or to write a note of encouragement to a colleague at work, you know, who's maybe needs some encouragement. How is that significant? God will use those things, sometimes so powerfully beyond what we could think or imagine, if we obey him. When I was in Egypt, I'll let you look at a nice picture. This is from the book here, and I'll pray this over you. Of faith. But when I was in Egypt, I was teaching in an area out in the desert. It was there. And I noticed a young man, I noticed a young man there who was quite poor. He was in poor clothing. He was from an African nation. He was doing part of a discipleship training school there. And I got talking to him because we played football together a little bit. And for me, that was a saying yes to God. I didn't want to play football. I was already a little bit older. I thought I could get injured, you know. But I thought, no, a way to connect with these guys in Egypt is to play football. And they loved it that their teacher played football with them, you know. So I was talking to him. You're very, very intelligent, very bright. I, over time, heard a bit of his story. He'd been a street kid in his nation, the capital city. He'd been thrown out because of, yeah, a terrible situation. All his brothers and sisters were on the street as well. And I felt like God asked me to say this to him. I said, I don't know if this is possible, but if you can get to England, we're running a 6-week seminar and we're talking about how to disciple nations. We're going to be talking about areas like we'll have someone in from politics, someone from the House of Lords will have come in to speak. We'll have a Christian come in from education. We'll have a Christian come in from business. If you can get here, I will cover the cost of your time with us, those 6 weeks and the seminar. I really thought, how is this poor kid ever going to get a visa, ever going to come? But we kept in touch. He wrote to me, and he got a visa, and he came. And I continued to say little things. I'm not taking credit for this at all. He has said so many yeses to the Lord. But eventually, he finished a university degree. He finished it in YWAM's university called the University of the Nations. And then I got him into a master's degree in the States. And the guy who wrote back was a doctor in the School of Government. He was from Mongolia. And he said, oh, YWAM, my mentor in Mongolia was a YWAMer. Yeah, we'll give him a chance. And he was put on probation, but he got straight A's right away. He already spoke, you know, French and English and his own national languages. And he graduated with a master's degree. And then some years later, he was a missionary now in Africa, but some years later, I said, I think maybe you should do a PhD. He was interested in that. Why don't you do the PhD where I did my PhD? So he did it in Oxford at the Oxford Center for Mission Studies. And he's now responsible as the director for Africa for all of this International Association of Christian Schools across Africa, 40,000 schools across Africa. That's what God can do from a little yes. A little yes, I will believe you, I will have faith. So I'm going to pray, first of all, a blessing of faith over you. Would you close your eyes and just receive this? Maybe you want to, you could hold out your hands or just receive this blessing. In the name of the Father, who reveals himself to all who seek him, and the Son, whose faithfulness saves us, and the Holy Spirit, who empowers us with his living presence, be blessed with faith and trust in God. You will come near to God by faith, and your faith will continue to grow. May you live by faith in Jesus Christ and receive his righteousness by faith. You will stand firm in faith, resting in God's power. May you be full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith as you walk life's journey. May the Holy Spirit give you gifts of faith to expect great things from God and to do great things with God. You will not be one who shrinks back, but one who presses forward in faith, confident in God's promises. You will always rely on his faithfulness. Be joyful in the adventures of faith. Be blessed with great faith. Amen. You can open your eyes again. Now, Genesis 12, if you flash back to Genesis 11 and Genesis 10, it's a bit unusual because Genesis 10 tells about all the nations on earth. There are 70 nations. And then Genesis 11 tells us about the Tower of Babel, how all the languages are confused and the nations where everyone spoke one language and now nations. Why does it tell it in that way? Not because it's chronological in an order of time, because it's theological. God is concerned about all the nations of the earth. That's how we have this diversity of nations, because people were rebelling against God. And now, through Abram and his descendants, all the peoples of the earth, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed again. So it's in these just three verses telling what is going to unfold, that God is a missionary God, that the Bible is all about missions. It not only inspires us to missions, it's God's mission to us to reveal who he is, his character and his ways to us. Do you get it? It's his desire to reveal himself to us because he loves us and he wants to restore us to relationship with him. And it's all of creation, all of earth, all of every area of society. Abraham Kuyper, he was a Christian prime minister in the Netherlands. He was a journalist. He did many things. He said this: there is not one square inch of the entire creation about which Jesus Christ does not cry out, "This is mine. This belongs to me. This is mine. This belongs to me." And we cooperate with God, together with God, to see things restored from their brokenness. Yes, we have a lot of bad news right now, don't we? And you could give up hope. You could feel despair. Where there's news from your nation, news from other nations, there's a lot to be sad about. But God is a God who promises that all things will be made new. He will restore. And he wants to work even now in those of us who carry his love and carry the light to bring that restoration in the places around us. And we do that by saying yes to him and having faith and trusting him. Not because of our power, but because of his power, the Holy Spirit's power at work in us. I'm going to go quickly, and I'm going to have to skip this one, but just think, what is your yes, not just to your top line, caring for your family, your friends, but also, what is your responsibility also for the peoples who might be a little more distant from you, a little bit more different from you? God wants us to bless those as well. What is your yes? God repeats, when something's important, God repeats it more than once. He repeats this bottom line blessing 5 times in the book of Genesis alone, and he repeats it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Sometimes someone forgets it. I think Jacob forgot. But when God says, when he speaks, it's always, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Here's one of those places to Abraham. Again, the top line blessing, God has blessed Abraham providing a ram in the thicket when he's about to sacrifice his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So that's, the Lord will provide for you financially for what you need, provide for you emotionally, provide for all that you need for your family. God provides for us. But because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, so we're thinking already because of where we're reading from, about Jesus, "I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the earth, although and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." And so this promise, God always repeats, it's for all peoples, all nations. Did the children of Israel ever carry out their bottom line responsibilities? What do you think? Yes? No? In the Old Testament, did they ever do it? Somebody said no? Okay, I'm going to disagree and say yes, but reluctantly. Okay? Often reluctantly. Let me give you a few quick examples here. Of course, we know Jesus is the Messiah for all nations, and we know Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations," because all authority has been given to Jesus. And we heard Psalm 67 about, "So that all the ends of the earth will fear you, and they will be blessed, the peoples will be blessed." Actually, 55 times, at least in the Old Testament, we're commanded to be a blessing to the nations. That's quite a lot. But did the children of Israel ever do it? Well, think about Joseph to the Egyptians. He saved them from famine. It was a blessing. Think about Moses, who took a lot of Egyptians with him when they left. Sometimes they're called the rabble, but they were blessed. Think about Moses to Jethro, a Midianite priest. Jethro blessed Moses, but Moses also blessed Jethro. What about the Canaanite harlot, Rahab? I think she's listed in Jesus' genealogy. Yeah. What about Ruth, the Moabitess? Naomi was a Jew. She blessed her daughter-in-law, Ruth, the Moabitess, who was also listed in Jesus' genealogy. As the, Ruth is the grandmother of David, King David. Yeah. What about Solomon? He prays for all the foreigners who will come to the temple, that God would listen to their prayers. Solomon to the Queen of Sheba. Elijah to the Gentile widow of Zarephath. Elisha to Naaman, the Syrian. These are things Jesus mentions when he's preaching in his hometown. And they want to stone him because he's saying, God blessed this widow. And God from another country, And God blessed Naaman, the Syrian, who weren't there lepers in Israel at the time. God blessed Naaman, the Syrian. Esther and Mordecai to the Persian Empire, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego to the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, Jonah to the Ninevites. They heard who God was when Jonah went reluctantly, but he did preach to the Ninevites and they repented and God spared them from the disaster that they deserved. So there's a few examples. How are you blessed to be a blessing? What is your yes to the Lord Jesus Christ? And whether you're young, whether you're a teenager, whether you're older than me, in your 80s or 90s, I'll tell you one final story. I came back. I'd been working in East Africa. I'd been up in the north of Tanzania, and I was there, and I was asked to preach. I was doing evangelism. I didn't have money. I was mostly walking. I think at that point I probably had tire sandals because I'd lost one of my sandals, which fell off the water on my way to Zanzibar, and I had to buy those cheap tire sandals. They're made out of tires, and walking there. But one of the bishops who was up in the north asked me to come to his church, and he wanted me to preach. But now I was back home in where I grew up. I grew up in Florida, and a gentleman who was 96 years old at the time. He just lost his wife not long before, said, oh, will you come and see me? And I thought, I went to visit him in his little home. It was almost like a little mobile home. And he said, oh, tell me what you've been doing, John. And I began to tell him. His eyes lit up, this 96-year-old. He said, oh, John, if I were just 10 years younger, I would go with you. And I'm thinking, wow, 86, you know, that's pretty good. He said, but I can't go now. But he said, I will pray for you. And that's the challenge. What is your yes to Jesus? Will you pray? Will you give? Will you go? Will you do all three? Depending on where you're at in life. And what I said when I met that young man, that old man as a young man, when I met him at 96, I said to myself, I want to be like you if I live to be 96. I want to be excited, not cynical, not saying, oh, you don't know anything, you're just a 20-year-old, I've lived all my life with the Lord. To be excited, to be able to say, oh, if I were just a little younger, I would go with you. And that's what we want in this church, isn't it? That together, all generations, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of every generation, would work together to go, to be sent out into the world to share who Jesus is. So close your eyes one more time. I'm going to pray for you. And this is a blessing of hope. In the name of the Father, who is the God of hope, Christ Jesus, our living hope and the hope of all nations. And the Holy Spirit, whose power causes us to overflow with hope. Be filled with hope. May hope anchor your life upward in the reality of God's glorious inheritance for you in heaven. May Christ live in you, the hope of glory. May you always turn from discouragement and despair to put your hope in God. May the Word of God restore your strength and revive your hope. May you bring hope with streams of living water flowing forth from your life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, receive a tenacious, unshakable hope in God. Be blessed with hope. Amen.